Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to this special bonus episode of the podcast in honor of National Food Safety Education Month, which is celebrated every September here in the United States. Now, to help us mark the occasion and to tell us more about the importance of food safety education within industry, for public health educators, and for consumers, Food Safety Magazine's editorial director, Adrian Bloom, sat down with Brittany Saunier, the executive director of the Partnership for Food Safety Education, and Ashley Eisenbeiser, the senior director for food and product safety programs for FMI, the Food Industry Association. Now, before we dive into their discussion, allow me to take a moment to introduce our guests. Brittany Saunier is the executive director for the Partnership for Food Safety Education. She focuses on leveraging the partnership's historical leadership in cross-sector collaboration and ensuring organizational effectiveness to realize the partnership's mission to develop and promote effective education programs to reduce foodborne illness risk for consumers. Brittany began as an intern at the partnership in 2011 and later served as a director of development, successfully increasing program service revenue and bringing diversification to the partner network. She facilitated program engagement with consumer and academic food safety experts, supporting the partnership's programs, including the National Consumer Food Safety Education Conference. Brittany holds a master's degree in public administration with a health policy focus from the School of Public Affairs at the American University in Washington, D.C. Ashley Eisenbeiser is a senior director for food and product safety programs for FMI, the Food Industry Association, and a food scientist specializing in food safety. In her role, Ashley serves as a subject matter expert for food and product safety for FMI's food safety programs and provides supports for FMI's retail, wholesale, and product supplier members on food safety training, technical services, regulatory compliance, and industry research and resources. Prior to joining FMI in 2013, Ashley served as a family and consumer science extension agent with Virginia Cooperative Extension, where she planned, delivered, and evaluated community nutrition, health, and food safety education programs. Ashley is a certified food scientist and received her master's and bachelor's degree in food science and technology from Virginia Tech. Ashley serves as a member of the board of directors for the Partnership for Food Safety Education and is a member of several professional associations, including IFT, IAFP, AFTO, and the Conference for Food Protection. Okay, let's dive into that conversation.
It's a pleasure to have you both with us today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Happy National Food Safety Education Month.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to have you both here to celebrate this month and to talk about some of the important initiatives that your organizations are working on for this month. So, Brittany, you represent the Partnership for Food Safety Education, which is a nonprofit organization that works with educators to advocate for safe food handling and preparation practices among consumers. And Ashley, you represent FMI, the Food Industry Association, which advocates, collaborates, educates, and supports the retail sector to advance a safer, healthier, and more efficient consumer food supply chain. So the FMI Foundation is also an annual contributing partner to the Partnership for Food Safety Education. So can you tell our listeners more about the partnership between your two organizations and how they work together to protect consumer health? Brittany, maybe you can kick us off on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, it's a relationship rooted in 26 years of history. Mm-hmm. And FMI played a huge role in that. And I'll let Ashley speak more about that. But, you know, the partnership was formed in 1997, going all the way back there, through a memorandum of understanding. And it was very unique in the way that it was formed with signatories from the federal agencies, so USDA, FDA, CDC, and also food industry. And FMI was a leading force in that, alongside other organizations like AFDO and Consumer Federation of America. And hopefully others will forgive me for not mentioning them right now. But so we were created to bring a consistent voice to that fork end on the chain of prevention, really helping people handle their food safely and bringing consistency and science to that message. And so we are the creators of the core four messages that everyone likely knows of clean, separate, cook, and chill, and which was launched and created in 1998 as the first ever consumer campaign. So we still operate in this collaborative fashion with FMI and also food industry and consumer groups and community-based educators and tons of other stakeholders to advance this work. So like I said, 26 years, right, Ashley?
Yeah, I know. What were you doing 26 years ago? Yeah. So I just building on that, you know, FMI is, you know, we represent the food industry, and as you probably know, it's made up of all different types of players, you know, across the supply chain, you know, from, you know, the largest manufacturers to, you know, to retailers, you know, the smallest, you know, one store operator. So, you know, there's huge variety and acts, you know, as far as our member types. And, but, you know, one thing that's kind of constant across the board is that food safety is a priority. Number one, it's really a non-negotiable, and it's really not a competitive issue. So it really helps mm-hmm. as far as moving the needle with food safety. So, you know, FMI, we're partner of the Partnership for Food Safety Education. And we support the food industry in helping consumers safely prepare, you know, nutritious family meals in their home, but through our support with the Partnership for Food Safety Education. So, you know, as Brittany mentioned, our relationship goes way back. It dates back to, you know, 1997. And it really was that MOU that was signed that really created a framework for collaboration to develop those science-based consumer-oriented messages. So I think that's one of the things that has made the partnership, you know, so successful over the years. And one thing that's kind of remained constant is really the consumer's expectation for food safety. You know, consumers expect the food they purchase to be safe. So, you know, kind of we work within that expectation. And, you know, when it comes to responsibility and who's responsible for food safety, you know, consumers assign that to, you know, various parties, you know, along the supply chain and the regulatory agencies as well. But then they also give themselves, you know, assign themselves some type of responsibility for keeping food safe. So, you know, it's really a collective responsibility, and consumers play an important role. So I think it's really important that we, you know, don't forget them. And when we're talking about the chain of prevention, you know, they play an important piece too.
That's great. So more than 2.5 decades of partnership between your two organizations. That's impressive. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of things that you've accomplished during that time. And, you know, Ashley, I know that FMI has access to resources from the partnership as part of the collaboration. And I was wondering if you could dive a little deeper into some of the benefits that you've seen for FMI's members who've utilized some of these resources.
Sure. Yeah. You know, one of the benefits I've seen is, you know, the resources that the partnership has available is enabled, you know, those food safety messages to be carried into the home. You know, food's like such an important part of our life. You know, think of any major event. It's centered around food, you know, mm-hmm. birthdays, Super Bowl, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, you know, even, you know, just name it, you know, food's involved. So the grocery store is really an ideal place to promote, you know, the importance of food safety. And, you know, the food industry, you know, the entire supply chain works really hard to keep the food safe through the point of purchase and consumption. But, you know, despite this, you know, food safety issues still can arise, you know, once a consumer gets home or after the purchase. Mm-hmm. So there was an interesting survey FDA did, of consumers, and I think it was 2019 or so. And, you know, what the survey showed was that, you know, consumers think people are more likely to get foodborne illness from food prepared at a restaurant than the food prepared at their home. But we know that food handling at the home is really important and in the chain of prevention, and many of the same challenges of during preparation in the store are also some of the same challenges that in the home that consumers can experience when preparing food. So I think there's some disconnect there. What's happening, after, the food leaves the store, when, gets home, it's unloaded and during preparation. So this really matters when it comes to food safety. And, I'll give you one example. Over the last couple of years, there's been an increasing emphasis on, the role of the retail dietitian, and they're viewed as a trusted source, when it comes to health and wellness. And this includes food safety. They're trained on food safety as part of their, training program. So they're equipped with these skills. So, many food retailers are tapping into this and connecting with their customers and the communities on their nutrition and health programs, and they're utilizing this expertise that the dietitians have to offer, and they're combining it with the resources through the partnership to make them aware of the important food safety practices that are at home. So definitely leveraging these food nutrition programs really critical and has been very successful in promoting food safety.
That's great. Thanks for telling us a little bit more about that. And I thought it was interesting, the FDA study you referenced about, where consumers imagine that they would more commonly contract a foodborne illness, and, saying that they would think that it would happen from a food service establishment rather than in a home. And it's just interesting, I guess, when you think about, that the folks working in a food service establishment have had formal education in safe food handling processes, whereas most consumers have never had formal education in safe food handling processes. It's more something that's passed down from your parents or your other family members. It's, something that's passed down just through generations, or it's, like some food handling practices are, culture specific or things like this. And so that's, again, speaks to the need for food safety education, coming all the way down to the consumer, and the importance of the correct messaging and getting that out there so the consumers can be adequately educated, just as our retail food service personnel are as well. So thanks for that, Ashley. Now, Brittany, I know that the partnership works with a network of 13,000 health and food safety educators called BAC Fighters, who teach an estimated 8.5 million consumers every year about safe food handling and hygiene. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. Very impressive. So what are some of the formats that these educators use in their advocacy efforts? And also, how do you measure the success of these efforts?
Yes. And first of all, I want to thank you for your comments leading up to this question, because that's exactly it. You hit the mark there on why consumer education is important. We're all consumers at the end of the day. We're people.
Right.
We consume.
Yeah. And we food. All eat.
We all, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. For the most part, yes. And so, if we're able to learn these essential practices and steps before we enter the workforce as well, and have that basic understanding and appreciation, from our vision, facilitates that cultural norm around food safety. So it's the long game. I don't want to pretend that it's easy and something you just snap your fingers and can solve, but it's an important one and essential, and it will take time to change those generational behaviors. And we're able to do that, bringing it back down to your question, through this incredible network. We call them BAC Fighters. So the BAC is short for bacteria. And they are boots on the ground. They're operating in so many different capacities. They are in the nutrition sector, whether they're doing nutrition education through like WIC programs, or even in dietetic settings or oncology clinics, for example. Cooperative extension plays a big role in this educator network. state and local government, public health, quite a few folks on the ground doing direct to person training on how to handle food safely. And they use our resources, and they are doing it in all sorts of formats. It's really fascinating. So we have the opportunity every few years, we do a needs-based assessment because we want to make sure that we're providing them with the resources they need. You know, things evolve, the way people receive information changes over time, their communities they're serving changes. And so from our recent survey, we found that they're doing all sorts of formats, to answer your question more directly, you know, in person, virtual, trainings on small farms, farmers market trainings, nutrition education. But they're still relying very heavily on print material, no matter the scenario. And we dug a little bit deeper because we thought, well, wow, it's 23. A lot of stuff's digital, you know? And it's the print material is necessary in conjunction with every activity. So it's that leave behind the takeaway that someone can go home with that provides practical, actionable guidance, on handling food safely. And so I think that's also what makes us unique, is that we do serve this educator network that's so diverse across many sectors. And we're able to do that through our partner network that keeps our resources free. And then also through that thought leadership, too, that helps us develop important programs like the Safe Recipe Style Guide and Prep Yourself and so on and so on. We have so many. So that's a little bit about, I guess, that Backfighter network and why they're important.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting to hear about, you know, with the survey results showing that desire and that need for print as something to reinforce, you know, things you may have learned in a, you know, in-person class or, you know, maybe from watching a video or something like that, but a handout, something you take away, something you can reference, right? It's that reference material, I guess. And I guess I just like hearing that as a person who really is a reader, a person who best learns information from reading. I know that, you know, we've seen such a big shift to, you know, audio, video learning, and I mean, certainly in person is invaluable too, or, you know, watching somebody do something. If it's something you need to learn manually, then watching somebody do something is very helpful. You know, for those of us who really find reading to be, you know, something that is helpful reinforcement or just a great way to learn something first or preferred way. I like hearing that. So it's interesting to hear. And certainly, you know, in this, as you said, it's 2023, like, isn't everything, you know, online or digital or video, but especially in print, that's very interesting, just, you know, from kind of a media point of view. So thanks for sharing that, Brittany. As we said several times, September is National Food Safety Education Month in the U.S. So my next question for you both is, how does each of your organizations mark this special month in terms of advocacy efforts and resources for members? And also, what's new for 2023? Maybe Ashley, you could start us off with this one.
Sure. So, you know, in addition to being, you know, National Food Safety Education Month, it's also National Family Meals Month. And this is an initiative that FMI started, you know, several years ago. And it's really an initiative to, you know, encourage families to have more meals together. At FMI, September is a time, you know, celebration, to highlight the importance of both, you know, family meals and food safety. So, you know, the research behind the benefits of family meals, you know, there's tons available, you know, benefits from nutrition perspective, from well-being. There's a connection between, you know, family meals and mental health and physical health. This focus of family meals at home, you know, is really a great opportunity to focus on food safety behaviors in the home. You know, food safety is an integral part of the meal preparation process. So, you know, research shows that, you know, if food safety instructions, you know, if they're incorporated into recipes, it can help improve the food safety behaviors. So, you know, what we do is try to pair those messages together. And, you know, as, you know, companies are sharing, you know, meal solutions to, you know, increase family meals, you know, coupling that with, you know, recipes that have the food safety instructions, you know, built into those, you know, that use that safe recipe style guide that, you know, we've collaborated with the partnership to develop.
That's great. And I like what you said about, you know, the, from a nutrition perspective, the correlation between, you know, families eating together and, you know, higher physical health and mental health as well. But I mean, you know, I feel like when families eat together as a whole, it's more likely to involve fresh, you know, freshly prepared foods, or, you know, an element of freshly preparing foods, and what you said about having food safety instructions kind of baked into the process, quote unquote, is a great way to, you know, to ensure that when these families do get together to prepare, to all sit down and enjoy and prepare a meal together, that everyone is doing their part the correct way in the kitchen, right? So that's very important. Certainly. And Brittany, what about you? What is the partnership doing for Food Safety Education Month, you know, in general, and then also what's new for 2023?
Yes, thank you. So in general, National Food Safety Education Month is such a great time to collectively as a food safety community to leverage each other's voices, to raise awareness and bring more visibility to some of these steps. So if we can have a loud echo chamber of these practices, maybe we'll, you know, break through somebody's social media feed and they'll want to change their, or at least consider changing their behavior. So it's just a great opportunity to do that, because food safety education really is 24/7, right? Like there's no seasonal time to practice it and not practice it. You always need to practice it to prevent your risk of illness. But this time period is such a great time for us all to come together. And so every year we do something a little bit different. We try to bring industry and consumer groups together, as well as the Backfighter Network we talked about earlier, around some sort of topic. This year, we're focusing on an activity. It's called Food Safety Bingo. It's a really fancy title. And it has different types of activities that anyone could really do that helps them engage with food safety in a fun way. Mm-hmm. And also encourages them to do activities to share the messages. So, for example, one of the activities are to cross off, you know, talk to a loved one about hand washing. And in our iteration of it, you know, people can enter to win a prize and they submit some pictures, et cetera. But I think it's also a really great internal engagement tool for industry. So if you have, you know, for any company, really, it doesn't even matter the subject matter, to be frank, you can use this as like a team building activity, offering prizes that, you know, or incentives to encourage people to use it as a way to facilitate that culture. I really like this activity because of the universality of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're working on this year. And you can go to fightback.org to find it. And also, you know, helping with promoting family meals, helping bring awareness to if you are sitting down with a loved one, whoever that might be that you identify as your family, making sure you're practicing those safe food handling steps as well.
Great. Well, I love hearing about these initiatives that your organizations are doing. We'll certainly include links in the show notes for the listeners to be able to quickly go in and see more information about those.
Thank you.
Now, I want to change gears a little bit here and ask about some other questions that are related to food safety and food safety education. Now, we know that we've seen changing consumer demands over the years, and we're now seeing rising popularity of things like third-party delivery, meal kits, ghost kitchens, and other e-commerce food businesses. And we know that with some of these things, control over food safety becomes more segmented and more complex, and also possibly more removed from the consumer. So I'd like to hear from both of your perspectives. How are the partnership and FMI working to advise consumers and member companies on adapting their food safety practices to fit these new models and consumer preferences? Brittany, maybe you can kick us off on this one.
Yes, this is a big one because it's changing so much. Mm-hmm. you know, I remember Steve with AFTO, Steve Mandernack, mm-hmm. Giving a presentation recently about vending machines just popping up, you know, on demand food places. And, you know, the partnership launched a campaign, I believe, maybe a year or so ago, called Prep Yourself, Food is on the Way. And it's about how to handle foods that are delivered through the variety of different channels, whether mm-hmm. it's grocery, meal kit, third party. And what we realized in the development of this campaign is that it's not necessarily that e-commerce or food delivery creates a whole new guidance for handling of the foods. The science still remains the same around mm-hmm. storage and cooking, and but it's placing people within that context that might be new. Mm-hmm. So the development of this campaign really was the intention to help people understand that, yes, you're receiving a fully cooked meal on your doorstep. You didn't have to prepare it. But if you're not planning to eat it right away, you should store it right away. And actually also be sure that you're home to receive mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So just helping people understand those sorts of steps that are needed when receiving foods from all sorts of different delivery channels. Now, of course, there's, you know, people can buy food off of Facebook Marketplace, for example, without understanding the steps taken, or also without understanding that they should be asking what those steps are taken to ensure that that food is prepared safely. And so that's also part of the campaign, is also raising awareness around, I think the first step is, you know your delivery model. Mm-hmm. What are the steps taken to ensure safety, and ask those questions. So that's the context we took to the development of Prep Yourself. And that's a campaign that's still going on and hoping to evolve over time, especially as these new things keep popping up, if we can catch up and stay caught up with all the changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great campaign, Brittany. And I'm glad that you guys are doing that. You know, I mean, I just think that there's a lot of consumer education that needs to happen around, you know, the awareness of what the consumer's role is in integrating, you know, a lot of these new demands and desires that they have around food, and you know, certainly things like, you know, knowing when and how to store foods that, you know, are delivered to you, you know, meals that are already cooked or prepared, or knowing if you need to prepare part of the meal or cook part of the meal, you know, understanding that you need to read the directions on those. But, you know, I just always think of things like, so I live in Central Texas, and for a large portion of the year, it's 105 mm-hmm. degrees here. And I just think, like, if I, you know, had a meal kit delivered to my home and that was sitting on the doorstep for more than a couple of minutes, I would be, you know, slightly worried about that. And, so it's just kind of like those yeah. things like temperature control, very important depending on where you live. You know, I mean, it's important everywhere, because we know that, you know, unless it's freezing outside, it's probably not supposed to be sitting outside for more than a few minutes. But yeah, just makes me think, you know, like consumer education is so important around these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Yeah. And so, Ashley, what's your perspective on some of these issues surrounding the, you know, changing consumer demands and some of these new food models that we're seeing?
Yeah. You know, one thing that's like very clear is that, you know, business models, you know, they're just rapidly changing. It's mm-hmm. it's just, you know, one of the challenges is just trying to keep on top of those, to, you know, to see like what's going on. And, you know, and there's no doubt that online grocery shopping, you know, is continues to grow and, mm-hmm. you know, probably will moving forward. You know, I can say that, you know, as a mom of two children, I, you know, grocery shopping with, you know, them is like shopping with the ticking time bomb. I'm like, just like, I'm so thankful for grocery delivery, because I uh-huh. like, yeah, would not. Yeah, I don't know. It's just it's just better for everyone's health. But, yeah. You know, I think, you know, what Brittany, you know, said, you know, definitely is true. You know, it just, you know, doesn't really matter how food gets to their home. Like if it's delivered, you know, meal kit or third party delivery, you know, the food, those core messages, you know, really remain the same, you know, the clean, separate, cook, chill. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that said, you know, many of us working in food safety, you know the challenges of providing information that will be understood enacted by consumers. So, you know, if consumers never shop, you know, physically in a grocery store, then, you know, those messages about shop, you know, safe shopping experience mm-hmm. and don't leave your groceries in the trunk if you're in Texas or, you know, in the middle of the summer right. or any place that's, you know, hot, you know, they don't matter like that, that they're irrelevant now. So, you know, but those messages, you know, with third party grocery delivery, you know, those messages are applicable to the shoppers, to the third party shoppers. So, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, companies are taking the opportunity to educate those third party deliveries, you know, companies on food safety. You know, Brittany mentioned that their employees are consumers too. And then also making sure that, you know, those messages are appropriate, you know, for the intended audience, you know. And so, you know, with consumers, it really is just about tailoring the messages to the scenarios that, mm-hmm. that's really relatable. And so relatable to them, you know, and, you know, that Prep Yourself campaign that Brittany mentioned is really a good example of that. And, you know, who knows what we can expect in the future? I mean, you know, I don't know, airplane delivery. I don't know. Who knows? But, you know, I think
drone delivery. Yeah, that's becoming a thing now, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Can look forward to that. Yeah. Having a little, a tiny helicopter dropping your takeout
for
on your
sure.
doorstep, right?
Yeah. How do you catch it? Probably. Yeah. I don't know. But I think we just have to, you know, continue to stay true to the science, those core messages, and just kind of, you know, keeping our you know, the end user in mind and how they're going to receive those messages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, for the last question today, on a more personal level, you both come from food safety and public health backgrounds, and you've both been working in food safety, nutrition, and public health advocacy for some time. So I think that most people who work in food safety or adjacent fields have a story about why food safety is personal to them. So I'd like to ask both of you, what has shaped your personal mission and motivation for the work that you do? And also, how does this inform your advocacy work and the relationships that you build with your partners, stakeholders, and your members? Ashley, maybe you kick us off on this one.
Sure. Yeah. So my journey in food safety, you know, dates back to when I was, you know, deciding, you know, what I wanted to major in college. And I remember this so clearly. And it's probably one of the few things that are just still so crystal clear in my mind. You know, I wasn't probably like a lot of people. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be or what I wanted to study. And so I thought undecided would be, you know, a good option for me. But, you know, my mom was like, you know, I'm not going to pay for you to make up a decision, you know, mm-hmm. decide something, you know, you have to have a plan. So, you know, I was so upset. I think I was crying and I think I was on the floor and, you know, kind of, and I don't know if it was a rebellion moment. I just was like, fine, I'll pick something. And I moved my finger across the list of majors and I came across food science and I was like, fine, I'll pick food science. I like food. I like science. And
lucky pick. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, you know, so I study food science and I don't think while my, you know, spin the wheel approach is probably the best way to choosing college majors for me, it kind of, mm-hmm. it worked out. So it's really been a journey and I've just been open to learning about different, you know, areas, you know, including in which kind of landed me in food safety. And, you know, I've met some really, you know, inspiring people and in the, you know, food science world and they've really paved the way in this field. So, you know, I have an example this weekend that occurred, kind of like painted a perfect picture of, you know, like why I do what I do. And, you know, my daughter was, you know, she was went to the refrigerator to get some grapes and she went to get them. And, you know, she was like, Mom, you know, why is there hair on the grapes? And, you know, I really just struggled how to respond appropriately to that. You know, I didn't want to freak her out and mm-hmm. like, so she would never eat grapes again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she took the opportunity in that, you know, silence to be like, come on, Mom, you're a scientist. You're supposed to know these things. And, you know, while this hair was just mold and, you know, not a food safety, not likely a food safety concern. You know, I really never thought about how do I would communicate that to a 7-year-old mm-hmm. and, Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. So I just was like kind of an aha moment. And I think it really conveyed the important point of how important knowledge is and the need to connect food to science. So that's really kind of been my guiding principle throughout my career is, bringing the science into the food and why are we doing these food safety behaviors? And, I never thought about communicating that to my daughter. So, that's just another opportunity I got to kind of think a little bit further of, I need to make sure, don't leave her out of the equation as well. When we're talking about, food safety and this food safety practice. So, in the end of the day, consumers, they're critical to the chain of prevention. If we want them to be, empowered, and when it comes to food safety, we got to equip them with the tools. We can't just expect them to know what to do. We have to share that science-based information and do it in a manner that they understand.
Mm-hmm. I love hearing this story about how your selection of a college major led to a very fulfilling career for you in food safety and public health. So that's really interesting, Ashley. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And Brittany, what about you? So what about your, what shaped your personal mission and motivation for this work?
Yeah. And first I want to say, Ashley, we have to get you some kids activity sheets so you can, you can have that conversation, help you guide, introduce those basic microbiological things. Mine, I think maybe is similar to a lot of folks' stories in that I heard a story of an unfortunate story of a victim of illness. I was exposed to Barbara Qualchek's story, which is very tragic, and she's done incredible work in this space. And that was sort of the impetus for, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going into food safety. And at the time I thought, oh, I'm going to study public administration and maybe work in social services or something like that. And I heard Barbara's story about her son, and it hit me because, and this is, something I keep in the back of my mind, but one of the reasons why it hit me so hard is that we all need to eat. Mm-hmm. And I do want to recognize that everybody's access to food varies. So first, mm-hmm. of course, that basic need should be met. But it's essential to our human condition, and to become ill and suffer potentially lifelong health impacts or worse, even death from doing something that you need to do on a daily basis is what I processed at that time and still continues to motivate me. And I also think about now as people are struggling financially about, how illness can even lead to like a day of work missed, which could lead to less food on the table, or which then leads to different decisions around how to handle that food or storage times of food, and just so many implications, right? It all leads back to food in my mind. And so handling that food safely is just really important and what motivates me personally. But through the work of the partnership, having the opportunity to empower people with practical food handling guidance is really exciting for me. And what helps me match that desire to help people reduce their risk of illness. And I think this food safety community is amazing. I think that the combination of these community-based health educators, industry, consumer groups, the agencies all coming together, you can see it in the discussion. Everybody's leading with their heart and soul, and they're giving everything they can to preventing illness. And it's clear that, through the collaboration, their servant leadership is really special. And it's the glue. I like to think of it as the glue to the work that we're doing here at the partnership. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, a long-winded answer, sort of. My personal story and motivation combined with the excitement for the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you both sharing your stories of, how you came to be doing this work and why it motivates you personally, and also telling our listeners today about what the Partnership for Food Safety Education and FMI, the Food Industry Association, is doing for National Food Safety Education Month, and you know, every day to help industry and educators and consumers and its members, member companies, do better when it comes to food safety, and to you know, to educate, because we know that's the resounding theme of this month and always when it comes to food safety. So, Brittany, Ashley, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been a pleasure having you, and we really appreciate you coming here today to discuss with us all these important topics for National Food Safety Education Month. It's been great talking with you.
You as well. Thank you, Adrian, for this opportunity.
Yeah, this has been great. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Brittany Sonier and Ashley Eisenbeiser for this informative discussion, and thanks to all of you for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed this special bonus episode of Food Safety Matters, and we'll talk to you soon.